There's an unearthly, ghostly scream, and then quiet.
What was that?
That was a holder.
Yeah, it was a ghost.
I got that it was dead.
They manifest in the form of a loved one lost and seek to entice you off to the woods to drain your soul. That is probably what happened to this Emily who returned. And to be honest, if it's been picking off what's left of this village, I imagine that is why the lighthouses fell into disrepair. I must confess, my friend, I am no longer feeling sleepy. Should we press on and light up the lighthouse so we can get away from here as swiftly as possible?
I think it's a very, very good idea.
I concur.
Yes, Fedra dismantles their shelter, throws her cloak back on, shakes them down, restrings the bow. Again, knocks an arrow ready. Let us press on.
Can we do our cooler discipline to recover strain since the encounter is over?
Yes, you can.
Or indeed survival. My case.
Oh, yeah.
And you have another survival roll coming.
Three successes, two advantage. I will take my strain back.
Two successes, three advantages.
That's one success, one advantage from me.
That's one strain back. I recall advantages entirely unhelpful in this situation.
I house rule them for my games that they also give me strain back, but like.
Oh, I house rule them to give you knowledge about a previous encounter.
All right. Ah. That involves me having to think far too much about what's already happened. Just have some more strain back, it's fine, crack on.
Well, I think they're unhelpful in this situation for strain return.
That's fine.
I think that they represent, as a group, a sense of triumph. You've won the encounter with this strange ghost that appears to be plaguing the town, and we'll put that as a boost toward this upcoming survival check. As you guys are working your way through the woods in the dark.
I was going to suggest something a little cheeky. Given that there's six advantages on the table from those rolls, and at least one of us rolled survival to recover their strain, because that's my thing with Bob. Could we use those advantages that we just get through the forest?
You know what? Yeah, I think I'm okay with that.
Just with that adrenaline pumping, we just kind of make our way through. There's bits of light coming. We've got little bits of luminescent fungus and that going as well. We know what's behind us, and we like steadfast determination. We just get our heads down and just crack on through the forest.
I think as we do that, Fedrith takes to the skies above the pines just to keep an eye out for any other glowing ghosty things in the woods, and even potentially at the lighthouse or back in town if they've got a good vantage point.
So the tree coverage is really thick here.
Yeah.
I see Fredrith kind of flapping and landing on the higher boughs of the pine trees, keeping this eye out as the others walk through, climb over, and trudge uphill on this incline to the lighthouse. It's an uneventful journey, though it takes a bit of time. And there's essentially the island of Lithni comes to a tall point where this lighthouse was constructed. So there's a break in the tree line, a slightly sharper incline to this rocky outcropping that overlooks the area where the lighthouse would shine. The lighthouse itself appears to be in the same state of disrepair as the rest of the town. It doesn't look to have been visited anytime recently, and it's one of those lighthouses that's essentially a cylinder, a tower that rises up, and it's got a little hut, a little A-frame triangular hut that's kind of jutting out from one side where the light keeper, the tower keeper, would have stayed.
Well, I think the first thing is to go to the lighthouse keeper's cabin and see if the supplies are there needed to re-spark the lighthouse. Oils, lamps, that sort of thing. And then we take it up and see what's up there. But it's quite high, so I'm thinking rather that than go up and then down, then up and then down, then up and then down again. Although perhaps we could
fly up and see what's happening on the top may happen.
Perhaps we can. I would exercise caution, considering the holdup. Don't know if the lighthouse keeper is still there.
Yeah, don't fret about that. And Fedrit kind of pulls on the bowstring a little bit and gets it, still an arrow knot, gets it ready to draw.
So you're in the pre-dawn time, having been woken up in the middle of the night and done your half day's journey through the woods. It's just that really, really early morning, slight glow that the sun is hinting that it will be up in the next couple of hours. Unlike the town, there's no light emitting from the building. There's no smoke. For all intents and purposes, it appears to have been abandoned long ago. The door itself to the lightkeeper's hut sits ajar, as if it's just through rot and time has come unhinged.
Fedrith's going to fly up to the top, see what state the light is in, see what state the stairway on the inside or ladder or whatever it is in, so that they can report down and see what we need.
So it has at the top of it what would have once been a beautifully painted, you know, iron railing for looking out, and then it's got the glass panes to kind of protect the interior light, and it's got the flooring and everything to support this Fresneled lens that would have spun about to alert people of the and shown the light for miles potentially. And as Frederick lands on that railing and looks through the window, the most telling thing that there's an issue with the lighthouse is the fact that the lenses themselves have been smashed. There's broken, thick glass panes everywhere inside this lighthouse. It has intentionally been destroyed.
I report that mentally to Fedrit.
Tregus, the lenses for the lighthouse has been smashed. I don't think, unless there's plentiful spare lenses here, that we're going to be able to repair this. I am certainly no engineer. I think, given what we have found here and what we know, this requires a different skill set than ours. They require engineers here to rebuild this. Should we return to the mainland and let them know? This is no simple neglect. This is active acts of sabotage and predations of the dead.
What advantage is there to just lighting the beacon?
The mechanism itself is thoroughly destroyed. It would take reconstructing the lighthouse to make it to work again.
Fedrith flaps down onto Fedrith's shoulder and says, "Now, I have heard out east, the Fellowship of the Seven Rivers creates their sun lamps. It is a very simple spell, but I don't know the details. Perhaps we can create something similar. The light would shine and dispel the dead. At least there would be a light in the lighthouse for now."
So hold it.
Hang on. Let me... I would like to use my deep pockets ability.
Okay.
There's
not a lighthouse in your pocket. Just
well, there is not. I'm just pleased to see everyone to pull out a small. It's like a whiskey bottle kind of thing that I've been hiding somewhere, and it's actually full of an extremely explosive compound or an extremely flammable compound. I've got this now. They call it pepper oil, and it burns very well. It'll burn for pretty much anything you like. Very dangerous. Don't ask why I have it. I don't have a lot. It's quite good for eating through things if you need.
Maybe if we can place that into some form of basket, set that afire to cause the blaze, and then between our more esoteric abilities, hold that fire in place for a period of time. We may not be able to build a sun lamp, but perhaps we can coax the fire to burn long past it should. And maybe, again, it is not a sun lamp, but we have ways of dealing with the dead if we need to. Maybe, Fedrith, you could imbue the fire with a similar light.
Yeah, we may also need to prevent anybody from coming up smashing this as well.
Well, if we just destroy the stairs on the inside to begin with, you two can fly down, and I am pretty good at getting down from places like this. Could always just drop a rope and then have you sever it when I'm on the ground.
I mean, this is a one-use thing. Once it starts burning, it's very hard to stop. Is this an okay use of my deep pockets, by the way?
I'm fine with it.
Once it starts, it'll just burn until it runs out of fuel. And I'll be honest, anything it finds up will even vaguely catch fire, it'll catch fire. So don't know how it's made, but it's basically like it's a heart of fire in liquid form. I carry it round because, as I say, most of this bottle is just stopping it from hurting me.
Yeah.
And a couple of drops is normally enough.
So what would it take for us to set up this semi-perpetual
beacon,
alcohol-infused flame?
So let's do, this will solve a lot of problems for the town. I think each of you should make a role in constructing this. I think.
Do like a skills challenge?
Yeah. I think we're going to need some form of mechanics to physically put together something. We'll need some form of magic to bind it all together. Maybe those are one and the same.
I've got mechanics.
Have you?
Don't ask me why I've got mechanics, but I've got a rank in mechanics.
Excellent. That's awesome. I was thinking using primal to basically coax the spirit of the fire to burn longer than it should do.
Mm. I mean, and I have the bottle, I suppose.
So I was thinking a general skill, a magic skill, and a knowledge skill.
Just to offer, Tragus, you could maybe make the roll to get better up or down.
I was thinking also possibly because of his magpie mind, could I justify a history check?
Yeah.
Because there must have been a time when this was something similar was the method used. And it's like, why don't we do it the way, why don't we build a wick the way they used it?
Mm. Yeah.
So he starts gathering, conveniently, we have some paper. starts gathering a kind of.
Now.
More conveniently, that if we're going to trash some of the stairs inside, there's probably wooden beams we can just haul up from the inside.
So let's start with the history check.
Okay. Does anyone object to me flipping a point? Oh, it's our last one.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, do it anyway.
What's the difficulty?
Average.
So two yellow, two purple. I'm trying to cast my mind back to the way they used to build these lanterns.
Oh, you need one. You need one boost too for what? I had a reason, and now it's gone.
Do it.
Ah!
Okay.
Typical.
I can't remember how they used to do it. Do we have another way? Could we figure out how? Could anyone else figure out another way to make this work? Because otherwise, the fire's just going to go out. Now, there used to be a way that they'd make these wicker shields. I can't remember what they used. Apart from wicker, obviously, it's not that obvious. It's like some sort of like copper shield they use. I can't remember how it goes.
Let's go mechanics next without the helpful advice of a wick.
I have some ideas. I mentioned some ways to make this sort of thing, at least the mechanics bits in Cogs, a definitive guide by Loki Bjornsson. What's my difficulty?
We're going to keep it the same. I think. Okay.
Do I have a setback because of that threat?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to describe what you've created at the end. So everybody gets to make an average check. We'll take the totality.
Can I have a boost because I name dropped Cogs, a definitive guide by Loki Bjornsson?
Yes.
Great. Glad I wrote that down. Two successes, one advantage. You see, you put this piece here, you put that piece there. Then we take the liquid, put it in the chamber, better it.
Can I get a boost from that advantage?
No, but you do get a boost for the liquid.
And then we coax the spirit of fire inside to burn without consuming, to slow its hunger, to have patience. After all, and at this point, Fedric's speaking to the spirit of fire inside the bottle, all things will eventually fall into the flame. We'll consume all things. Little bit of patience, my friend, a little bit of patience. Two advantage.
So at the top of this lighthouse, you've created a basin to pour this liquid into. You unsuccessfully tried to fashion a wick to make it last even longer. But even without that, the fumes are bottlenecked in this container that you're able to light and coax the fire from the top of this to burn very bright. And it's a self-perpetuating flame. The heat rises the fumes and helps evaporate some of this liquid. And so you can tell that it's going to burn bright and it's going to burn long. The main thing that you notice that you're missing is the Fresnel lenses, or the mechanisms by which to rotate the light around to send signals with. But you do have the beacon, the thing that ships need the most to just know that there are dangerous rocks about. And so with that, you have saved the trade of the area. But your eagle-eyed vision from the top of this shows you one other trouble that you'll have, and that is when you look back towards the town, you look back towards the docks. It's a long way off, but your vision is good enough to be able to make out the small shapes. Your ship is missing.
Well, it's a good job we know how to build coracles. It might take us some time. Federate sighs with this deep resignation, rolls their shoulders back twice, then locks eyes with Tragus. I'm not doing all the rowing myself this time, though. The books! Will they fit in the coracle? This whole trip has been terribly, terribly frustrating.
It's all right, we'll just build four coracles, one for the books.
I like the way you think, my friend. And Federate pats Tragus on the shoulder companionably, holds one hand out for Fedrith to land on. Mm-hmm. And I think just stares off at the coastline, just sighing briefly.
But there's still an eerie quiet as you guys set to work. Describe for me what a coracle is. I haven't heard it before.
So a proper coracle is, it's a circular frame, like and the rest of the boat is usually animal skins or woven thick leaves and that sort of stuff, then tarred on the inside, basically to make it waterproof. I imagine it's something a bit similar, because in the lighthouse keeper's shack, if there's any supplies left there, I imagine there will be some tar in there from making repairs and that sort of stuff. We'll use our cloaks if we have to form the base of it. It only needs to be wide enough to fit two of us in. There's plenty of wood in the forest. We've got hatchets. And again, I imagine that there will be some wood-cutting implements here, because how else does the lighthouse keeper keep their own fire and stove going? Mm-hmm. So it's just going to be a really basic water-going vessel. It's not going to be a sailboat. It's not designed for deep water, but we should be able to hook the shallows and then power through across the narrowest part of the reach. And if it then means that we have to land, you know, a yomp across the countryside to get to somewhere more civilized, then certainly Federate is absolutely happy with that, because they much prefer being out in the wilderness and along the coastline than they do being in cities anyway. So they have no problems kind of traversing uphill and down dale to get to somewhere more civilized. Mm-hmm. Once they're there. So yeah, I imagine it's a wooden circular frame, maybe some bent branches tied together, thin benches to sit on.
It's normally, I mean, traditionally, like the Welsh made them out of willow and like ashes, if you see what I mean, and oil, and tar. So it's like a light bent, as you say, like basically a kind of circular shield. It's a way of not drowning whilst we try and, you know, to try and make our way out. Kind of even more primitive than a kayak.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I think that you successfully create this. I am going to flip my... I have all the points. I can't end with all the points. Yes. I'm going to flip once. as you guys had headed back down to the beach of Lithny, the one area that you can really launch this from, I'll say that you explored the old shipwright, the warehouse that was on the shore, and found many of the supplies that you would need to create such a vessel in short order. The consequence of the point, though, as you get this boat and successfully get off, it doesn't sound like a GM flip until I mention the fact that it's fairly crowded with two people in it. It's definitely seaworthy, but almost no additional books can fit. The knowledge that you discovered in this bookstore, it will have to be left behind.
When Trigus realizes this, I put the supplies in the duffel bag. I put those somewhere where they won't get lost too quickly, in the shipwrights, and I put the books in the duffel, and essentially make sure the duffel is nicely sealed against the weather, and tie that up, and then put that up somewhere so there's somewhere for the chest to recover.
We could always bury it on the shore. Just remember where else it is. Mm-hmm. Buried treasure. What is it? The best treasure of all, me hearties. Knowledge.
And as you guys set sail, rowing north back to the mainland, the sun rises and the camera cuts to one of the cliff faces of Lythne, looking out towards where your boat is. And a cloaked, shadowy figure jump scares across the screen to end the story. There's more happening on Lythne, but the tale of Fredrith and Tregas Full comes to an end. Thank you guys for playing.
Thank you very much.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you very much. We have successfully avoided the story.
We lit the lighthouse.
Dealt with plot points nobody has ever dealt with before.
We lit the lighthouse and we've got a book on cheeses, right? That is an unequivocal win in my book.
That is a success.
We weren't here to kill a necromancer. We weren't here to defeat ghosts. We weren't even here to save the town. We're here to light the lighthouse and filch books.
So we're going to go back to the mainland, tell some wannabe heroes that there's adventure to be had out on the island of Lythne. And
if they could bring us some books, bring us some books back, we will definitely trade them some furs, some skins, some nice whittled furniture, whatever. Mm-hmm. Not money, though, obviously.
So we've been playing with Mark. Say goodbye.
Hello. Goodbye. You know who I am.
It's true. I shouldn't have started with Mark. This is his podcast.
The hilarious thing is when we're doing these one shots of force majeure, that's my line.
Ed?
Hi, it's been an absolute pleasure to do this. And my name's Ed Fortune. You can find a lovely podcast, Force Majeure, which I'm sure Adam will also plug as well. And you can also follow me on Twitter as Ed_Fortune. And that magazine is Starburst_mag. And we're still doing stuff pretty much 24/7 as one of the UK's genre pop culture hopes, as it were.
And I have been Adam Beltane. Thank you very much for having me on here. If you want to hear more from me, I do indeed do two podcasts, Force Majeure, a Star Wars actual play, and Dungeon Majeure, a Genesis Fantasy actual play. They could both be found on Twitter at Force Majeure Pod. I'm on Twitter at Madam Beltane, and it has been a genuine pleasure to be here. I can't wait to hear what Mark does to polish up my rambling nonsense.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
I'm sorry for the accent, everyone.
Me too. mine was. Ooh.
I'm just glad that you guys didn't talk to anyone. I didn't have to do any voices whatsoever. I've been Andrew, all things Dicey Cantina. You can find me primarily right now doing Hop Company, the second Tuesday of every month on our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/c/DiceyCantina. And catch Mark and I playing games there live. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tales from the Grey Library. Thank you to Andrew from the Dicey Cantina for running this game, and Adam and Ed from Force Majeure for playing. This episode was produced by Nightcast Creative and Dicey Cantina. Be sure to check out Dicey Cantina's latest podcast, The Foxglove Letters, wherever you get your podcasts. And for everything we do here at Nightcast Creative, please visit nightcastcreative.com. Interested in supporting this and our other shows? Be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/CoruscantNights, or buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/nightcast.